Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
All right, everybody, I'm going to put this as delicately as possible. The entire MAGA movement seems to have entered full-blown psychosis with Donald Trump leading the way. I want to call this trickle-down psychosis because Donald Trump sets the narrative on some insane issue, trying to strike down birthright citizenship, endorsing candidates who abuse their wives, cheat on their wives, and it seems like the entire Republican Party is more than willing to follow suit every step of the way. We've got a lot of breaking news to run down throughout this video, but the overarching theme is going to be the developing feud between Donald Trump and his wife, Melania Trump. Melania Trump already didn't want to return to the White House during Trump's second term. We know that she was not wanting him to exactly win because it was quite stressful and arduous for her the first time around. When Trump did re-return to the White House, Melania didn't stay with him for the first few months. She was gone. She was staying with Barron elsewhere. Then, when she did move into the White House, she requested an entirely separate room from Donald Trump. She's staying in room 219, which is separate from room 220 that Donald Trump is staying in near the Oval Office. Then, there develops a feud between Melania and Donald Trump regarding the decoration of the White House. I've been reading the book Regime Change by Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan. They have a bunch of inside insights into the relationships and dynamics in this administration, and it is really fascinating. I mean, I cover this stuff all the time, so hearing the behind-the-scenes dynamics, who hates who likes who, the way that these people snake each other out, it is incredibly fascinating to me. But this book reveals that Donald and Melania Trump have been growing a lot of tension between them for a few reasons. First of all, Melania didn't want to return to the White House. Second of all, when Melania did return, she wanted to sleep in a different room. Third of all, Melania Trump did not want Elon Musk to stay in the White House because she viewed him as annoying and eccentric and just kind of a distraction. And then finally, Donald Trump is competing with Melania Trump to decorate the Oval Office. He's even going so far as stealing and vanishing objects that she requests and then using it for his own room. So Melania will ask for specific objects. Melania will ask for specific items, and Trump will then take those from her and use them in his own decorations, just basically a giant middle finger to his wife Melania. But then enter Natalie Harp. Natalie Harp is the woman on screen and who is Donald Trump's closest assistant since 2022. She is a 35-year-old blonde woman who is known as the human printer because she's always carrying around binders of printed out Truth Social posts, printed out tweets, printed out news articles, and then reading them to Trump in a very, let's say, gracious manner. Like, she'll only read the articles praising him, only tell him good news, and create kind of a fake worldview around Donald Trump that everybody likes him, everybody loves him. But then Natalie Harp starts to pass weird notes to Donald Trump saying, "You mean everything to me," saying that she'll never leave him. Some really odd notes. And one night, Melania Trump catches them late in the study. Now, the allegation is not that they were doing anything weird, but they've been spending a lot of late nights together talking about things and doing unknown activities. Melania Trump caught them one time late in the study, and this is detailed by Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan's new book, Regime Change, which is very, very fascinating. So I want to break down all of these dynamics. The entire Republican Party has been corrupted in a top-down manner by people who openly cheat on their wives, oftentimes abuse their wives. Matt Gaetz was sexting with a 17-year-old, and they covered up for him. They covered up for Jeffrey Epstein. Donald Trump has already cheated on Melania with Stormy Daniels. We know this. I don't even have to allege this. We just know that this happened. And then on top of all of that, they're endorsing other candidates like Ken Paxton, who was divorced by his wife on biblical grounds and who was just caught again on a train with a new mistress. I mean, he's supposed to be on the campaign trail. This is the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, who's currently running against James Tallarico. Republicans are trying to paint James Tallarico as some like low-T male who isn't a real man. But in my opinion, masculinity is not cheating on your wife, not being found guilty of bribery, not being impeached by your own party for bribery. And Ken Paxton has done all of those things. Literally, Ken Paxton's own staffers turned him in for vast amounts of corruption, and now the Republican Party is lining up behind him. Let me show you this clip of Senate candidate Ken Paxton, a Republican from Texas, being caught with his mistress on the train recently after his wife divorced him on biblical grounds for cheating with her repeatedly. Ooh, you can see the exact moment he gets caught there at the end. Let me show you this. The exact moment he gets caught and sees the camera.
What?
Yeah, maybe the Republican Party shouldn't be lining up behind the worst of the worst. This same guy helped a pedophile get no jail time. There's a pedophile named Adam Hoffman in Texas who sexually abused and raped a 7-year-old child. He was supposed to get 30 years to life in prison, and Ken Paxton, the attorney general, gave him a plea deal, like a surgically targeted plea deal that allowed this pedophile to get off after 29 days. These people are sick in the head. I want you to take a listen to this clip right here.
Excuse me, Mr. Paxton. What do you think about Adam Hoffman? Why'd you get a plea deal for a child sex predator? Do you have anything to say about that? Should he be registered as a pedophile in the state of Texas? A sex offender?
Step back.
What do you have to say to Adam Hoffman, the victim of Adam Hoffman? Mr. Paxton, what do you have to say?
What a weak man. What a weak man that is the opposite of masculinity. The Republicans are trying to put our candidate, James Tallarico, in like an AI dress and say that he's not a real man. But in my opinion, James Tallarico is more of a man than any Republican across the country, especially people like Ken Paxton, who cheat on their wife, get caught cheating with their wife, who have their own staffers turn them in because they were really, really corrupt, who has helped a pedophile get a plea deal and then walk out on the streets. I never want to hear the Republican Party call themselves the Party of Family Values ever again when this is what we're dealing with. Donald Trump, Ken Paxton, Matt Gaetz, all of these different Republicans being absolutely awful human beings cheating on their wives. I never even want to hear Republicans claim that they are protecting children ever again when Adam Hoffman let a pedophile back out on the street, when Donald Trump pardoned a bunch of January 6ers, and I believe about 90 of them have reoffended in some way, and 10 of those people that have reoffended have hurt children directly. You can draw a direct line between Donald Trump pardoning these sick in the head January 6ers. You can draw a line from that to children being abused even further, because those J6ers have already abused more children. All right, while I'm recording this video, we just got some wild breaking news that I really quickly want to dig into. The Supreme Court has officially just struck down Donald Trump's birthright citizenship case and held that anybody who was born on U.S. soil is therefore a citizen. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson was just forced to react to this in a live setting, and he begins to huff and puff and groan before he even read the opinion. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed if you appreciate these videos. I'm going to jump into the Melania of it all in just one second, but we are working hard, overtime, breaking down the news, making sure we bring you all the facts. And tonight at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, I'll be on CNN with Abby Phillip. One more time, Adam Mockler, me, I'll be on CNN tonight at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Mark your calendars. Comment if you're excited, spread the word, and let's start off with this clip right here. I just need to show you this clip of Mike Johnson getting smacked in the face by the Supreme Court ruling while he's speaking live. At first, they ask him about it, and he kind of stutters and doesn't know what to say, and then they break the news to him. Take a listen.
So, birthright citizenship, which as I speak has not come down yet, but it helped hundreds of thousands of formerly enslaved people in Louisiana. Now, do you, as a constitutional lawyer and representative to the descendants of some of those people who were enslaved, agree with the president that it should be done away with?
I missed the first part of the question.
It helped hundreds of thousands.
No, what was the reference?
It has not come down yet, but do you agree with the president that it should be done away with?
What hasn't come down yet?
Birthright citizenship.
Birthright citizenship. Yeah, okay, look, yes, as a constitutional lawyer, I got lots of opinions on this. Okay, understand what the framers did, and when we added this to our constitutional order.
Just wait for it.
I think anybody who looks at this, oh dear, what do they rule?
Here we go.
Is children born in the United States parents unlawfully or temporarily present are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States and are citizens at birth under the 14th Amendment Citizenship Clause.
Mm-hmm.
What's your reaction to that?
Well,
this is real time.
I need to read the opinion, okay? But obviously that's, I mean, you could say that's a textualist, originalist view. However, I do think that this has been grossly abused in recent years, okay? And
you know what they say in law? Always develop an opinion before you even read the final ruling. Like, he hasn't even read the ruling, and he's already trying to undermine the Supreme Court, huffing and puffing and groaning about it. Dude, he's trying to say that this is like a textualist, originalist view. This is the view that has been upheld by Congress and the Supreme Court time and time and time again. This is the view that is going to stay for a while in the United States because it very clearly says all persons. So what did I say at the beginning of this video? MAGA has entered a collective psychosis and they are trying to inverse reality on its head. They're trying to tear up the Constitution and tear up birthright citizenship. They're trying to convince you that men who cheat on their wives are the real masculine ones in hell. They're trying to convince you that there is currently a massive state fair going on and the only people ruining Trump's projects are the vandals who are tearing them down. There is currently a clip right now going viral of Fox News hosts sitting around in their little semicircle with Doug Burgum, and behind them there is an empty field, a Ferris wheel that is at a standstill and nobody walking around. And these Fox News hosts are trying to plant the seed to say that there were vandals at the reflecting pool, you know, this secretive liberal super vandal who cut a 250-foot-long gash in the pool and then dashed off into the night and was never caught. I would love to meet this person. I would love to meet this, like, Superman of liberals who is able to do this and get away with it at a heavily guarded national monument, but I digress. They're trying to blame this person and lay the groundwork for saying that this fair has been vandalized. It is mass psychosis, and in 1 second, we will enter the Melania part. Take a listen.
We were talking during the commercial break about the vandalism at the reflecting pool. I know you have vowed to go after anybody who was vandalized. There was that 350-foot slice. What do we know about it? What's the latest? And do we have cameras up? We have 7 people arrested.
Well, we definitely have more cameras now than before because I guess we'd say it's unthinkable. This reflecting pool has been there since 1922. It is literally part of the Lincoln Memorial. Mm-hmm. And so while some people may think it's cute or interesting to vandalize that, it's no different than if you walked up into the Lincoln Memorial and threw red paint on Lincoln's statue itself. I mean, that's, you're vandalizing a national monument. Mm-hmm. We take that very seriously.
And spoiler alert, none of us are for vandalism. If I were to give the people watching this video some advice right now, it would be do not engage in vandalism. That is a crime. Don't be keying cars. Don't be throwing paint on the buildings. Don't be doing that stuff. But I think you guys already know that, and I don't think I have to give that advice because they're trying to distort reality and claim that there is a whole group of Antifa vandalists who are cutting holes in the reflecting pool. That is not true. This is the type of authoritarian paranoia that you see in, like, Vladimir Putin, who thinks that the people around him are trying to overthrow him. There aren't some super vandals who are secretly cutting massive gashes into the reflecting pool, and I, as, you know, a normal human being, will tell people, don't engage in vandalism. It's just not a cool thing to do. But this only supports and confirms the theory that MAGA has entered mass psychosis. While this is happening, Michael Knowles is currently on stage at the National Fair. He's right here. Michael Knowles is a right-wing commentator that I've debated a few times. And for some reason, he's like sitting across from a 12-year-old child, and he's making the argument that the Salem witch trials didn't go far enough. And throughout this, you just know there is nobody in the crowd. The camera doesn't pan to the crowd, but you know that it's going to be empty. Take a look.
But the one area where the Salem witch trials went a little far is, I would say, they weren't organized enough. So you had these, like, random judges, you know, kind of burning these ladies. I don't know if they were guilty or not, but I think more, if it were more formalized, built up a little bit more, maybe with like a grand inquisitor or something, that would have been a better way to do it. I am so impressed. I could not.
Are we serious here? He's talking about how the Salem witch trials didn't go far enough, sitting across from a 12-year-old in a MAGA cap. What reality are we living in? I mean, this is the party that's supposed to protect the children and protect family values and protect women. I'm sorry, dog, but this is absolutely wild. This brings me on to Natalie Harp. the human printer who has caused a lot of stir in Melania and Donald Trump's relationship. So the book that I'm reading, Regime Change, going into the details of this administration, is very fascinating. And it also details how Elon Musk and the decorations in the White House were a big split between Trump before Natalie Harp even entered the scene. This says, when talking about splits between Trump and Melania, these include the fact that Trump has taken to DIYing changes to the Oval Office armed only with superglue, and that the 80-year-old has a habit of leaving evidence of his late-night snacking on the ground for White House staff to clean up. Many of the revelations relate to the relationship between the president and the first lady. Beyond the fact that the two sleep in separate bedrooms, they have also found themselves embroiled in a decor-related standoff, with the president vanishing objects that Melania had placed into the second-floor living room he had claimed as his bedroom. So the reporting is that Melania will request very specific items and objects for her decoration purposes, and Trump will then vanish them. He'll take them for himself. He'll take them as his own. Absolutely wild. This is supposed to be our beacon of masculinity. You know, maybe eventually someday I'll make some videos with my girlfriend or introduce her to you guys, because right now online, a bunch of MAGA freaks are being very unfair towards her, towards our relationship, and towards everything in that regard. And I think that MAGA has no actual concept of what, like, love or masculinity or any of this is in any meaningful way. Donald Trump is literally in an ego battle with his wife, but it gets even worse. Another point of contention between the pair concerned guests. Haberman and Swan detail how then-Doge head Elon Musk asked Trump if he could sleep at the White House. Donald Trump agreed. Melania did not. Haberman and Swan report that she objected but was ultimately overruled, as Musk then spent several nights in the Lincoln bedroom. Other nights he stayed with friends, the book continues, though he also told associates he had taken to using a sleeping bag on the floor of his office in the Eisenhower building. Okay, Elon Musk is annoying. Melania probably knows that he's an annoying, eccentric billionaire. The book also goes into detail about how people became very sick and disturbed with the way that Elon Musk acted around them. Like, he has very antisocial behavior. And as I read more and more of this book about the Trump administration, it's called Regime Change. It's really interesting. I'm not even, like, plugging it or anything. I just think it's genuinely an interesting analysis behind the scenes. It talks about how the administration officials began to get really annoyed at the eccentric behavior of Elon Musk. Like, this guy is always tweaking on ketamine and being very weird and staying up late nights. But this brings me over to Natalie Harp. Natalie Harp, 34, is the personal assistant to 80-year-old Donald Trump and reportedly accompanies him virtually everywhere, around the clock. She is said to manage his Truth Social account. This is true. She is said to print out flattering articles from conservative websites. This is true. And carry them in a Lululemon tote bag. They even call her the human printer because she's known as always having a bunch of printed out items. According to two independent books, one by Michael Wolff and another by New York Times journalists Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan, Harp allegedly left admiring notes in Trump's private quarters, including messages such as, "You are all that matters to me." Trump reportedly said that she would never leave him. Melania Trump is also said to have found Harp late one night in the president's private residence. Holy shit. Donald Trump's wife found the woman that is 34, a blonde assistant, and is writing secretive love notes to Donald Trump late one night at the president's private residence. According to these accounts, the Secret Service at one point viewed Harp as a potential security concern because of her unusually strong personal attachment. Whether the two have had a romantic relationship has never been officially confirmed, and the White House has not responded to media inquiries on the matter. Harp's brother, who lives in Nicaragua, and says that he has not been in contact with his sister since 2020, described her relationship with the president as very unhealthy. I'm not trying to, like, generalize or stereotype here or anything, but Donald Trump does have a proclivity towards blonde women that looks like his daughter. We absolutely know this. Look at his previous wives. Look at the people that he keeps around him. Look at the way that he talks about blonde women overall. It is incredibly, incredibly obvious that Donald Trump has a type, and Natalie Harp seems to fit that exact mold. The same Natalie Harp is staying up late with him in his private residence. The same Natalie Harp is sending letters and messages to him, sticky notes that say, "You are all that matters to me." Trump reportedly said that she would never leave him. Something here seems a bit odd, and Melania Trump stumbling into this odd relationship is next level. I also want to point out, I'm not really somebody who cares about people's personal lives. Generally, I'm pretty liberal with it. Like, as long as you're not harming anybody else, I don't care what you're doing in your personal life. But this is different. We should hold our elected officials, and especially our president, to a higher standard than just our neighbors or random people that we pass by. And Donald Trump's standards are so low right now that he is destroying the country, destroying his personal life, and then just parading around with Natalie Harp like none of us are going to notice. This is Donald Trump and Natalie Harp together on the golf course. This is them together on the golf course, again, smiling with each other. This is them, again, smiling and having a great time with... is that Doug Burgum? I can't really tell who that is. But then here is Natalie standing in the background, smiling like the woman from Obsession, if you guys have seen that movie. There are dozens and dozens of these pics of them together. It's normal to have an assistant. I'm not going to knock anybody for having an assistant, but this reporting is next level, and this reporting is very accurate. Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan, the people who got this reporting and wrote the book about it, have deep sources within the administration, within Trump's circle, and people who tell them everything. So her leaving a note that says, "You are all that matters to me," is absolutely absurd. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. Again, I will be on CNN tonight. I will see you all later. Peace out.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.